Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
My beloved, in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, good morning and welcome to our service of worship on this beautiful, oh my goodness, isn't it wonderful outside Lord's Day. We are so very glad that you are here worshiping with us this morning, those of you who are here in person, those of you joining us by Zoom, and those of you who will catch us several days from now on YouTube. We are glad, very glad that you are with us. I hope that you have taken the time before worship to fill out the friendship pad. Pass that down the pew. Make sure everybody does that. This is helpful in knowing who has been here. Okay? We get questions all the time. Was I there? How many times have I been? How long has it been since I've been to worship? These are the kinds of strange calls we get to the church office, very seriously. It helps us very much if you would please fill out the friendship pad. Make sure you at least know the name of everyone in your pew. I hope that you have been paying attention to the announcements that were going by on the screen and all of those in the bulletin. Today, immediately following the service, I'm going to take time to take off my robe and put on my jacket, come back. We will start the annual congregational meeting. This is important. It really is important. You guys don't know how great our church is. You don't know it with the depth, the intimacy that I know it, because I'm there all the time. This is your chance to see it in its fullness. That's what the annual report is about. Now, you've had this for several days. I am sure, because we are Presbyterians, we have all read it, planned ahead, thought about any questions that we may have. There are no stupid questions. If you're thinking it, pretty darn sure somebody else is thinking that question also. We'll have more to say about that at the meeting. Please, I do hope you will stay for it. Handbells resuming their practice schedule. Somebody asked, why do you ring the bell 9 times?
Because it's supposed to be the clock and it's 9 o'clock.
There's nothing sacred about 9, it's 9 o'clock. That's why we ring the bell 9 times. If we started worship at 11, we would ring it 11 times. Okay, easy enough. Raise the Roof campaign. Did you admire the new roof when you came in this morning? Did you admire that, how nice it looks? Talk to John Neville about that. He has been the one who has made it happen all the way through. And if you would like to cover part of the expense of it, talk to John Neville. John would be very glad to talk to you about that. Usher training coming up in July, the Dock Spiders game. I still that the Dock Spiders. I mean, come on. Are the Dock Spiders? Wow, okay. Never been tailgating in a church parking lot before. That ought to be fun. Church Nick coming up, things like that. Of course, the office will be closed on Independence Day. I'm sure you all understand. But we will have worship on Independence Day, on July 3rd, Communion Sunday. And we will have adult formation on July the 3rd. And we have a lady named Rose from the St. Catherine Drexel Center who will be leading that adult faith formation. She says, we need facilitators for the Getting Ahead program. The Catherine Drexel Center is looking for facilitators to help the economically disadvantaged to get back on their feet. If you have a concern for people struggling economically, if you want to help those in need, have a desire to help people become self-sufficient, have compassion for others, want to engage with others who are learning how to get ahead, please come to that program. Even if that's not you, know what's going on in our community. Again, we're Presbyterians. We're well informed about what is going on in our community. Two more things very briefly. This came up at session meeting the other night on Monday night. Are you tired of COVID? I am tired of COVID. But COVID's not tired of us. COVID is not. It is still out there. If you look at the CDC map of Wisconsin, there's a hot spot of counties in the middle of our state that are all in the red. I don't know what they're doing. But their masking is good. Pick your environment. Know what you're doing. Think about the people who are around you. I went to the play Thursday night, Mamma Mia. Big auditorium. I wore my mask the whole time. I went to the grocery store yesterday. I wore my mask when I was in the grocery store. I'm not worried about this space because we're thoughtful people. And I'm sure there's nobody here who would say, well, I think maybe I do or I've got the symptoms, but I'm going to go to worship anyway and see what happens in a couple of days. No, if you had that, you would stay home. My point is, masking is not a bad thing. It is respected and encouraged. And think about yourself, those you love, and those who are around you. Finally, let me say this. Unless you live under a rock, you know the Supreme Court passed down a very important decision this weekend concerning Roe versus Wade. This is a complicated subject. My hope is later this week to write a pastoral letter to the congregation about how to think about that, and where is God in this decision, and where is God moving forward. But I was reading something this weekend by a fellow named Richard Rohr, R-O-H-R. He has a regular email every day. He's a very thoughtful Franciscan in New Mexico. And it was just a totally different subject, because he wrote this weeks ago. It was just came out yesterday. But he said, as Christians, we understand it is not so important as to be right as to be loving. As Christians, we are not called to be right. We are called to be loving. And so no matter how we feel towards those with whom we disagree, we are called to be loving. They will know you are Christians by your love. It warms my heart today to be in this midst of this loving community, knowing that we have come together for this common purpose, to love one another and to worship our loving God. Friends, let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Thank you.
I invite you to stand as you are able for the call to worship. We gather to worship our God of wonder, and we gather to meditate on God's works and mighty deeds. Our God, who is great and mighty, with arms stretched out, welcomes us into the fold. Seeking to follow God, shepherd of our flock, and knowing how we have strayed, we humbly confess the ways in which we have sinned that we might find grace. Join me, please, in our responsive prayer of confession. God of mercy, we confess that too often we give in to the yearnings of the flesh. We have impure thoughts. We idolize those who misuse power. We harbor jealousies and are quick to anger. We neglect to care for others and gratify our own desires. Forgive us, God, and cleanse us of our sin. Lead us to ways of love, joy, and peace. Send your Spirit to engender patience, kindness, and generosity, and lead us to be gentle in our care for all your people. In the silence of our hearts, let us confess our sins to God. Sisters and brothers, we are called to freedom. In the howling wind and shaking ground of our lives, God reaches out to us in love. Believe this good news of God. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Amen. My beloved, the peace of Christ be with you. Please take this moment to share the peace of Christ with those around you. Send a text or an emoji to someone you know who can't be here right now. Please, share God's peace. Peace of Christ. My friends, you may be seated. If you're wondering where the lay leader is, it was considered that the role of the liturgist, the lay leader, because there only is one lesson day, would be so short that I could be trusted to do it by myself without somebody there to keep me in line all the time. But if you have a desire to be the lay leader some Sunday, if you know how to read out loud, please talk to Chris, and she will put you on that list. It is an easy thing to do. I meet with you ahead of time. We go over all the difficult words, the pacing. It's not hard. I encourage you, please, if you are interested, to be a part of that. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. We're reading here from chapter 9, beginning with verse 51 down to the end of the chapter. And when the days drew near for him, that is Jesus, to be taken up, to be crucified, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. This is a very sort of Old Testament Hebrew thing to say. To set your face means you are determined. You are determined to do this. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. Remember, Samaritans and Jews have a long centuries-old animosity between them. But they, the Samaritans, did not receive Jesus because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man," that is Jesus, "the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. My friends, this is the word of the Lord for us this day. Thanks be to God. And now I invite the youngest of our disciples to come forward. Miss Jennifer has a few words for us this morning.
As a reminder, we bring Jesus up in front with us to remind us that Jesus is with us always. And he's been sitting in the back row just in case you were missing him. So I want to know, does your mom and dad, do they ever tell you, well, before you can play that video game, we need you to do maybe make your bed or clean your room, do chores, yes. Or maybe before you can go outside to play, you have to do chores, right? And you think, oh, why do we have to do that first? Have you ever thought about that? Yeah, me too. Grown-ups have that same kind of thing that happens. Well, when I was teaching for a long time, there was a boy who got brand new boots, and his mom told him he needed to have his boots on to go outside for recess. And he insisted on putting them on first, before his snow pants. Now, anybody who knows snow pants knows that it's much easier if you put your snow pants on and then your boots. You can get your boots on before your snow pants, but it's a lot of work and it takes a long time. So moms and dads maybe say to you to do something first because they know what should be first. Well, in our story today that was read in the scripture, Jesus was talking to some people. They wanted to follow Jesus, but they had some other stuff to do first. Do you think it was the right thing, or was it kind of like the boots? I think it was kind of like the boots. A lot of times we say that we are following Jesus and we want to follow Jesus, and then we have some other stuff that we want to do first. But just like the boots are much easier to put on after the snow pants, a lot of our life, the things that we do in life, are much easier when we put Jesus first. Very good. Let's take a little time and let's say a little prayer. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for the gifts that you give to us each and every day. We know that it is sometimes hard to follow you, and sometimes we have things that we want to do first. We ask that you would help us to remember you always and putting you first. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, Amen.
Thank you.
Please, friends, be seated. Please. I was thinking about Jennifer's children's time here, that message about snow pants. When I was those boys' age, I lived in Texas. You wouldn't have used that illustration. It's a very apt illustration for a year. It would not have worked in Weatherford, Texas, when I was 6 or 8 years old. In fact, I think I was 21 before I saw snow that was deep enough you would want to slow down your driving for it. Priorities. Put your pants on before your boots. That's a good thing to remember. And what are your priorities? Huh? What are your priorities in life? If I woke you up in the middle of the night and said, quick, what are your top three priorities? What would you say? What would Jesus say about priorities? What does Jesus say should be our top priority in life? Well, as we said, Jesus is going down the road. He has his face set for Jerusalem. This is going to be his last time to go to Jerusalem. He knows that when he gets there, he is going to be arrested and then crucified. And he has followers with him, and they want to spend the night first in a Samaritan village. And there's this centuries-old animosity between the Samaritans and the Jews, and the Samaritans refuse to receive them. That's okay. Jesus goes on. Because Jesus does not force his way into our lives. Jesus does not batter down our walls and take us by force. If we want to follow Jesus, it has to be entirely voluntary. Jesus will not force us to be his disciples. We have to choose to follow Jesus. But if we do choose to follow Jesus, Jesus wants us to be very clear about something. And that is that following him, that is living his life of self-giving love, growing in faith, growing in spirit, growing to be more like God, to live the kind of lives God wants us to live. If we're going to follow Jesus, it has to be our top priority. Someone says, I will follow you, Jesus. And Jesus says, okay, but understand, there's no time off. There is no vacation spot. There's no place at the lake we can go to get away from it all and forget about Jesus for a while and just live however we want. No. There's no home we can go to after a long day of following Jesus and just forget about Jesus. Just stop being Christians for a little while. And relax. No, if we're going to follow Jesus, it's got to be 24/7, 365. Following Jesus has to be our top priority. Someone says, I will follow you, but first let me go and bury my father. And what he's saying is, let me wait until my father grows old and dies. Okay? What he's saying is, let me wait until I have no other obligations. Or really, it's, I will follow you, but let me wait until it's convenient. And Jesus says, no. No, if we're going to follow Jesus, we can't wait until it's convenient to follow Jesus. If we're going to follow Jesus, we can't wait until we get out of school or we've settled into that new job. Making Jesus our top priority means we can't wait until the kids have finally left the house or until we've retired. Making Jesus our top priority is not something that we can put off until we've done all that traveling we wanted to do and had all those experiences, and now we're set. Now we're ready to follow Jesus and concentrate on our spiritual life. No. No, if we're going to follow Jesus, Jesus says it has to be our top priority. Someone says, well, I will follow you, but first let me go home and say goodbye to my family. Let me say goodbye to my friends. Let me bid farewell to the old neighborhood. Let me bid farewell to my former way of life. And Jesus says, no. No, if we're going to follow Jesus, it doesn't start with a detour. If we're going to follow Jesus, we can't do it with one eye on the rearview mirror. Jesus is about facing forward, not about gazing back. So what have we learned in this short lesson? Well, we've learned that Jesus loves us. Jesus wants to be with us. Jesus wants us to be with him, to walk the way of the cross, to love others the way Jesus loves us, to become, as we say, more and more like God, to live the kind of life God wants us to live. But Jesus doesn't force that on us. He doesn't batter down the walls of our heart and take us by force. If we're going to follow Jesus, it has to be entirely voluntary. Following Jesus has to be entirely voluntary. But we have to understand that if we are going to follow Jesus, it has to be 24/7, 365. It has to be our top priority. But what about my business and my career? Well, those are important. But following Jesus is our top priority. But what about all that traveling I was going to do and those experiences I was going to have? Those are important. But following Jesus is our top priority. Well, what about all that political work that I'm doing and what I'm doing in my community? Hey, those are important. But following Jesus is our top priority. But what about my friends and my family? Those are important. But following Jesus is our top priority. It's a hard lesson. It's a hard lesson for me. I'm sure it's a hard lesson for most of us. But while we're mulling that over, let me just say two things very briefly that I don't think they get said enough. This is important. When we make following Jesus our top priority, all of our other priorities improve. All of our other priorities get better. When we make following Jesus our top priority, then our business and our career become more meaningful. When we make following Jesus our top priority, then our leisure time becomes more restful. When we make following Jesus our top priority, then we approach our political activity more clear-eyed. And we approach our community with more compassion. When we make following Jesus our top priority, then our relationships, including our most intimate relationships, they improve. If following Jesus is important enough to do later, it is important enough to do now. If something is important enough to do later on, then it is important enough to do it now. And when we do it now, all those other priorities that we have fall into place and they improve. But to do that, to grow in faith, to follow Jesus well, we have to do it with others. We have to do it in community. Growing in faith, becoming more like Jesus, learning how to live the way God wants us to live, is not something we can do all on our lonesome. And this is my second point. It requires community. And that's one of the reasons why churches are so important. Because it's in the church that we grow in community. It's in the church that we have the community around us that helps us grow in faith. It's in the church, in worship, in Bible study, in fellowship, in meetings, on mission trips, or, you know, church picnics, or what is it, tailgating in the parking lot before the ball game. It's in those myriad of activities that we grow in faith together. And we become more and more the people that God wants us to be. Now, good churches require good leaders. Okay? Churches need leaders who have already made Jesus their top priority and want to help everyone make Jesus their top priority. Leadership is the difference between a country club church and a church where everyone is committed to making following Jesus their top priority. Now, in a few moments, we are going to have the pleasure of recognizing a number of people who are going to be ordained or installed into office in our church's leadership. When the nominating committee called, they heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, and they stood up and they said, yes, following Jesus is my top priority, and I want to help the rest of us all grow in faith together. Now, as part of receiving them, they are going to take a vow. And this vow is a vow. It's not just a friendly agreement to do something, right? This vow is like a wedding vow. It's like an oath of allegiance to a country. And we expect them to take it just as seriously. And we expect them to only break that vow under the most extreme conditions. No one breaks their wedding vows, no one turns traitor to their country because they're bored. Or they're a little bit disappointed. Or, you know, I've been really busy lately and all these other things have been happening and, oh God, help me, but somebody hurt my feelings. Do you know how long ago I would have left ministry if I had left the first time somebody hurt my feelings? Yeah, probably the day after I was ordained, which says something about how thin my skin is. But my point is, this is a vow that they will be taking. But along with that, we, the congregation, will also take a vow. We also will stand up and take a vow. We will vow to pray for our leadership. We will vow to pray for our leadership, and we will vow to be led by them. We will vow to do all we can to help them help all of us make following Jesus our top priority. And they have every right to expect us to take that vow as seriously as they take theirs. And so I invite those who are being ordained or installed to office today to please come forward and join me here at the chancel steps. You will need the insert in your bulletin that says ordination and installation. So if those individuals would please come forward and join me right up here. And I invite the rest of us to turn to that insert that says ordination and installation of officers. So if you want to just line up right here. If I could have the elders down this way and the deacons over there, it will be a little easier to keep everybody straight. Okay? And if I could have you right in between these two, please. Thank you. Thank you very much. And if I could have you right over here. Everybody move down, move down. Staging is very important. Okay, now feel free to come together. Feel free to collapse it up. Okay, thank you. Hey, you laugh. You wait. Okay, you wait. I invite you to turn to the insert that says ordination and installation of officers and join me now in this liturgy of installation. As many of you as were baptized in Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We are called by God to be the Church of Jesus Christ, a sign in the world today of what God intends for all humankind. We are called into the Church of Jesus Christ by baptism and marked as Christ's own by the Holy Spirit. This is our common call, to be disciples of Jesus Christ and servants of our servant Lord. Within the community of the Church, some are called to particular service as deacons, as ruling elders, and as ministers of word and sacrament. Ordination is Christ's gift to the Church, assuring that His ministry continues among us. Through ordination, God provides for acts of care and compassion in the world, for the ordering and governance of the Church, and for the preaching of the Word and celebration of the sacraments. Representing the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, the session of the First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, now ordains to the ministry of Deacon Mary Ellen McMee and installs her to active service in the congregation. The session also installs to active service those who have been previously ordained. Deacons Orr Campus, Dale Campus, and ruling elders Sue Baker, Deb Cooley, and Lori Christie. I ask of you, incoming elders, to answer these constitutional questions. Do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior, acknowledge Him Lord of all and head of the Church, and through Him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the Church Universal and God's Word to you? Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture believes us, leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? I do and I will. Will you fulfill your ministry in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? Will you be governed by our church's polity, and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's Word and Spirit? Will you, in your own life, seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church? Will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Those of you entering into the office of ruling elder, members of the session, will you be a faithful ruling elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in councils of the church, and in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? For those of you entering into the office of deacon, those of you joining the deacons, will you be a faithful deacon, teaching charity, urging concern, and directing the people's help to the friendless and those in need? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ?
Please rise. Do we, the members of the church, accept these individuals as ruling elders or deacons, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ?
We
do. Do we agree to pray for them, to encourage them, to respect their decisions, and to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church?
I invite all of you who have been previously ordained to the office of ruling elder, and if there are any visiting elders or ministers of Word and Sacrament with us today, I invite those of you to please come forward now for the laying on of hands. The rest of the congregation, you may please be seated. I invite you, ma'am, this is your time to kneel. Do you need that pillow? Do you need to go get it? Okay. This is your time to kneel. Next, you can face it. You really need to face it. But if that's okay. Yeah. Quite all right. Yes. Yeah, right there, please. Right there, please. Let's help each other down. There we go. Okay, good. Now, there is nothing magic about our hands, okay? There is no special holiness in our hands that is flowing through to these individuals. What we are doing is saying that we stand in the apostolic tradition. This is the practice of the church from the earliest days, to lay hands on those who have been specially called by God to these services. So, I invite you to reach out and lay hands. Lay hands on those around somebody. Make sure everybody's got a hand on somebody. And again, this is a responsive reading. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Give thanks to our hands and praise.
gracious and eternal God, with joy we give you thanks and praise. Throughout the ages and in every place, you have chosen servants among your people to point the way to salvation by your grace.
We are grateful for our ancestors in the faith who follow
above all, we praise you for Jesus Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life to set others free. Anointed by your Holy Spirit, he proclaimed your reign on earth, revealing your saving love in all he said and did.
Gracious God, pour out your Spirit upon these your servants, whom you have called.
By the gifts of your Holy Spirit, empower them to build up the church, to strengthen the common life of your people, and to lead them with compassion and vision.
In the walk of faith and for the work of ministry, give to all your servants gladness and strength, discipline and hope, humility, humor, and courage, and an abiding sense of your presence.
Gracious God, pour out your Spirit of power and truth upon the whole church, that we may be for you a holy people, baptized to serve you in the world. Sustain your church and ministry, ground us in the gospel, secure our hope in Christ, strengthen our service to the outcast, and increase our love for one another. Show us the transforming power of your grace in our life together, that we may be effective servants of the gospel, offering a compelling witness in the world to the good news of Christ Jesus our Lord. Alleluia. Amen. You may please rise. Well done. Well done. If we could step back just a little bit, please. Give us a little room here. Don't go away. Don't go away. Don't go away. Stay here. Beloved, you are now deacons and ruling elders, ordained to ministries of service and governance in the Church of Jesus Christ and for this congregation. And I charge you now to make following Jesus your top priority. Because if following Jesus is your top priority, then whatever you do will be good for this congregation and will be pleasing to Christ our Lord. And now, by the power vested in me, I get to be the first to say welcome. Thank you for taking this call. We appreciate what you're doing. We know that this is important and powerful, and I look forward to serving in ministry with each of you. My beloved, will you please greet our new officers? Please, please step forward. Hug, kiss, shake hands, do whatever it is you do. Deb came on during COVID and did not get to experience the laying on of hands. That is why we asked her to have that experience for dealing today and receiving the laying on of hands. Thank you. My friends, let us pray. Our gracious Lord God, with thankfulness and joy in our hearts, for the leadership that you have raised up among us in many years gone by, and the faithful men and women who made you their top priority, and by doing so, improved the lives of all of us. We thank you for those who have come forward now in this time, who have accepted this joyful call to loving obedience, to make walking the way of the cross, to make their spiritual life the most important thing of all. And in thereby doing, improving not only their own lives, but the lives of all of us. Thank you, Lord, for our leadership. We pray for their ongoing courage and wisdom and insight. But Lord, in the midst of our joy, we lift up the sorrows of an anguished world. Rains in Bangladesh, lockdowns and oppressions in China, wars in Ukraine and so many other places, food insecurity and starvation in Yemen and Afghanistan, gun violence in our own nation, and a body politic seemingly doing its best to tear itself. We pray, Lord, that we will have the courage in the midst of all these many distractions to make following Jesus our top priority and thereby helping to alleviate suffering and bring peace to your world. Gracious God, today we lift up those in our body who need your special prayers, who need your special presence among them. Gracious God, bring them your healing power in mind, in body, and most of all, in spirit. Lord, we lift up to you the silent joys and concerns of our hearts. And we listen now for your word for us. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Gracious God, we offer all this to you in the name of our Lord Jesus, who taught us when we are to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. When we make following Jesus our top priority, all our other priorities improve. We have a greater understanding. We have a greater understanding of the use of our finances and how to use them well and how to share them as generously as Jesus shared his life with us. Friends, by check, by electronic means, by dropping it off at the office, whatever works for you, let us receive our tithes.
The rising of the
gracious Lord God, we offer this offering with pure hearts, with open minds, with great joy, knowing that you will take it and you will bless it and multiply it, that you may bring others to the joy that we have found by making following Jesus our top priority. In Christ's name, we offer this with love. Amen. Congregational meeting. I'm going to go and take my gown off, get something to drink, be right back, say 10 minutes. Is that good? It shouldn't last all afternoon unless one of you gets antsy and starts talking too much. Okay? I leave it to you. You know who I'm talking to. There will be worship next week, communion, faith formation afterwards. It should be very interesting. I hope you will be here. But now, my friends, God loves us, but God does not bludgeon us into loving God. That is our choice. But there's only one way to do it, and that is to make following Jesus our very top priority. And you know this goodness. Now go and share that goodness with the Lord. Go and let others know how much God loves. And as you do so, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord God this day and every day look at you and grant you God's own peace. And so let all God's people say, Alleluia, Amen.